Today, I'm not really going to preach a sermon. I just really feel, as I've talked with a few different leaders in the church, and a few people have asked me questions and made comments, I want to share with you today about looking ahead. As Park Harbor Church, over the next few weeks, we have six more weeks that I'm going to be here with you, Sharon and I will be here with you. And then there is going to be that interim period of time, and we do not know how long that will be. And I just want to address some things so we're all on the same page. So if you know people that are not here, in fact, I don't see Jason in here at the moment. He's probably went to the restroom. Oh, Jason, he is there. Jason, we need to get an email out with maybe a link to the YouTube page and the Facebook page, because if anyone's not here, we want them to listen on Facebook or whatever so they're on the same page as everybody else. And there are people gone today for family celebrations for Christmas. And so that always happens, but this just falls into place here. Just to let you know on coming up, next week I'm going to begin preaching on the church vision. I'm going to take 3 weeks this year, and so I'm going to preach on that next Sunday, the first Sunday of the year. The Sunday after that, the weekend of a retreat, I'm going to be preaching geared towards what's going on in our retreat. And then the third and fourth Sundays of January, I'm going to continue on our church vision. I've done that every year, except for the very first January I was here, which I started the very first Sunday of January, was my first Sunday in 2002. That was my very first Sunday because we moved in the month of December. But I didn't preach the church vision because I preached it on my candidating Sunday when we were here in October. But otherwise, every January I have taken over the other 22 years, I have preached on our church vision. And I'm going to preach that again. So this will be the last time that you will hear it. It will always be a part of you because it's a vision that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ needs to carry within their heart. The new pastor, when he comes in, this is going to be part of my message, there's the church vision that you will hold fast to, not what I'm going to be preaching the next week, that you always will hold, but there's specifics of Park Harbor Church, of what makes us who we are. And that pastor, any new pastor, will absorb that as he comes in because that's the church of who he's coming to. But then he'll also be bringing the vision that God has given him for ministry. You'll marry those two together. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. Because he will be, that's how you go to the next level. That's how you go the next step further. That's part of God's plan. So anyway, looking ahead, I just want to bring clarification and understanding so we're on the same page. I want to start out with going through a few scriptures, and then at the very end of what I'm going to share, I'm going to go through a few more scriptures. First of all, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is a verse that I have used personally through life, personally through ministry, and personally through pastoring. And this is what it says: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You know, sometimes when we're walking, when we're doing, sometimes we can even make a mistake. We can stumble. We can do whatever. But if we call on God and we trust on God, he will help us stay on that straight path or get back on that straight path. Amen? Trust in him with all of your heart. That's where, God, you're in control. I'm going to put you in control. I'm going to allow you to take control. I'm not going to try and take control. And I'm just going to let you, in other words, Lord, you get behind the wheel and you steer the car. You steer the car of my life. You direct me where you want to go. And I might feel uncomfortable going into certain areas that you take me. I might feel uncomfortable that you might be going faster than what I want to go, or you might be going too slow for my taste. That's usually my case. But Lord, I'm going to trust you with all of my heart. I'm going to take my hand off the steering wheel. Or if you drive a buggy, I'm going to take my hand off the reins and let the horses be directed by you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I'll guarantee you there's going to be times in the months ahead that you're not going to understand things. You're not going to understand God's timing. You're not going to understand God's choice. For instance, I remember someone telling me, I won't say who it is, if they listen online, I am not doing this as a gossip thing. It's just true. When I came to the church, there was a person that knew about me beforehand, and there were several people that knew about me beforehand just because some people from Park were coming down to attend services because of things that were happening in Worthington when I was pastoring there. So they heard feedback from there and some things that we did by using banners and some of the moving of the Holy Spirit and just some of the things how God chose to manifest himself. And so they heard stories from other people. And when it was announced that I was going to be the candidate for becoming the pastor of the church, and of course they went through the interview process, they had it narrowed down to 3 people, and then there was second interviews, and they narrowed down to me and invited me to come be the candidate. The person in their prayer time said, "Oh, Lord, why would they choose him?" Because they weren't really excited about hearing of me coming. And here's what the Lord spoke to the person very clearly. Because that's whom I have chosen, and that's who you will vote for. And they voted for me, and they supported me in my leadership all the way through. And I love the individual, and I believe this person loves me. I have no question. I had no reason to even question that they don't. There may be times you don't understand what God is doing. God, why are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? Lean not to your own understanding. Just trust him. In everything that you do, everything that the church goes through, when you're going through as a body and what you do as an individual, acknowledge him. Do it as unto the Lord, and he will cause your path to be straight. He'll cause everything to fall into place in his will and his time. Amen? Hold on to that scripture. If you don't have it memorized, it's a good one to memorize. You live by it several times a week in your own personal life. Another scripture is in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, and this is very important as things coming up. It starts out, it's going to be 6 through verse 9. But it says, be anxious for nothing. Well, I should go back to verse 4. I didn't have this on for Emma. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say to you, rejoice. Just rejoice in the things of the Lord and what God is doing. Even if you don't always like what God is doing, just rejoice in what God is doing. Let your forbearing spirit, your goodwill, the fairness, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Then we get into this. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just put it on the table before him. Don't worry about it. Just lay it out all before him. And when you do that, in other words, when you lay it before him, you're not putting out grievances. You're surrendering those things into his hands. It's like taking your hands off the steering wheel so he can put his hand on the steering wheel. It's like handing him the reins of your life. I used to ride horse all the time, so that means a lot. You lose the reins of your horse, it gets quite dangerous. You have to know what you're doing in order to stay on that horse. You lose the reins of your horse, hopefully the bridle has stayed on, and you can lean forward having control, and you can grab the side of the bit and you can pull it back to slow that horse down or to start to control it, bring it under control. But when you lose the reins or you give the reins over to the Lord, you don't have to take any type of control. You just let him do it. Amen? So when you make your requests known to God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to him. You're not just putting out grievances. You're not just saying your needs. You're just saying, Lord, I'm laying this all at your feet. I'm putting this all in your hands, and I'm not going to worry about it. And when that happens, the peace of God, which is beyond what you can even explain, it's beyond comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It guards it. So anxiety doesn't keep coming back in. Fear doesn't keep coming back in. Then it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true. Here's what you need to do too. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. If it's taking too long in your estimation of getting a new pastor, God has it in control. He knows he's preparing to bring. Let me ask you this. Again, I'll get into this in a little bit, but I won't use this illustration. It just came to me. How many of you ladies, when you were pregnant, got pretty frustrated and sick and tired about being pregnant by the time you're around your 7th month, 8th month, and you wanted that baby out? A few of you are shaking your hand, raising your hand. But it's not healthy for that baby to come before it's ready to come. There might be some problems if you deliver prematurely. We ended up having a baby 3 months premature and lost her because she was not ready. Babies that are born premature, a lot of them have physical defects. There might be blindness if they've had to use too much oxygen. There might be palsy. There might be mental development or physical development problems or issues. God ordained that a woman be pregnant for 9 months and then comes delivery. It's a failure of our bodies and the sin of corruption of this world, the curse of this world, that causes babies to come too early. It's the same thing when it comes to ministry and God's timing. God has his plan and his timing on things. You can't rush that. If you rush it, things are not going to turn out well. Amen? The same thing with dragging too long. It's that if a woman is pregnant beyond, that's what's wrong with me. My mom was pregnant for almost 10 months. You guys, ladies, thought you had it bad. That was in the day, before the day that they induced. And they were going to induce. They were going to force it, so I decided to come. I must have caught on to that. But I was overdue. I think my mom told me I was due the end of March. I wasn't born until April 24th. So she went a few weeks over. Waiting too long. You just got to trust in God's timing and walk in God's timing. When he gives you an urgency or it's time to move forward, you move forward. When he's saying just hold off, you hold off. That's this whole purpose of things, of just trusting him, dwelling, letting your mind dwell on the things that God has. Then verse 9, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, the Lord, the God of peace, will be with you. And I guess I'm going to say personally, as your pastor, hopefully I've lived a life of an example in front of you. And I'm walking by faith right now by being obedient to what I feel God has spoken to my heart. But the things that you have learned from me over the years, that you have received from me over the years, that you have heard from me over the years, that you've seen in me over the years, practice these things. Do these things. And if you do, the God of peace will be with you. I'm personalizing that. The other scripture I'm going to share until I share the two others at the end is in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. And it's the first portion of the verse. Whatever your hand finds to do, truly, do it with all your might. Whatever the need is in front of you, and I'm going to share this, when you see a need that there's going to be in the church, step up and meet that need. Don't complain about it. Don't try and point it out to everyone else. If God is putting it on your heart and putting it before you, do it. Amen? Even when the new pastor comes, don't step back and say, well, now he's here. Okay, now we can take it easy. He'll take care of it all. No, just that is a good thumb rule for yourself. You see a need, you meet the need. Whatever your hand finds to do, truly do it with all your heart. Do it as unto the Lord and do your very best. And I just want to encourage you to do that. General information. This is not going to sound really spiritual. This is just practical. It's facts. It's things that are going on. You want to know it, and here's what you want others in the church to hear. It's already been put in the date, say the date coming up or whatever. My last Sunday is going to be February 9th. It was going to be the very end of January, but because we have the all-church cleaning that's coming up and then the district event where they come in and do the credentialing seminar, the presbyters, we rearranged the entire church for them to come. And so on the first Sunday, we have our church cleaning on Saturday, which is, I think, February 1st, February 2nd. We have our morning service, and we ask everybody to stay and pitch in afterwards because we begin to rearrange most everything in the church, setting up the gym, everything else, and then we get a team of about four people to come back and finish the sanctuary at finish. We already start in the sanctuary, but we finish the sanctuary after the French service is done. And then we have the district is here that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Thursday afternoon and Friday, we rearrange everything back to where it was. And then that next Sunday is going to be the farewell. I should say our last service will be the farewell. And so that's going to be February 9th. So that's 6 weeks from today. Some other practical things to understand. Jason, I want to just talk about him for a moment. Watch out for that dude. When I'm not around, I'm just teasing. Jason is going to become the person that's responsible to oversee all the ministries in the church. He's going to be the go-to person. Men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, nurseries, everything. You're going to go, he's going to be the person that you want to communicate with and answer to. He's stepping up into that role. He's also going to have added responsibilities in the office. So what they are doing, at least through the interim time, is added to his hours. He's going to have a day added to his week, plus increasing his pay and because of the responsibilities that he is going to do. And that's going to be in addition to the worship ministries that he already is over and takes care of. So that, I just want to let you know about that. Emma is going to be coming in on Tuesdays and covering the phones in the office on Tuesday. And then John Koplos, and then we're moving into the board here. John Koplos is right now, as a board member, he is vice chair of the board. That would be, if any reason, I would be incapacitated, hospitalized, or the Lord would choose to take me home, we have in our bylaws that the vice chair automatically becomes the pastor. Even if, long term, when there's a pastor here, all of a sudden the pastor's out of the country on a missions trip, he's not reachable, or he goes someplace on vacation, is not reachable, the vice chair can automatically take over if there's an emergency business situation that rises in the church, decisions need to be made, they can take over and keep stay in keeping with the bylaws. John, as vice chair, will become the chairman of the board until the new pastor is not only elected in, but actually starts in office. He will be the chairman of the board until that time. He will oversee the board and all of the business of the church and taking care of all the board responsibilities and also chairing the search committee. When we are looking, you guys are looking for a new pastor. We're adding two ex officio board members to the board. Now, this year at annual business meeting, there is Dennis Wallach's term is up, and Barb Welch is stepping down halfway through her term. So two board members will be selected at annual business meeting, one to complete Barb's term, and then one to replace Dennis Wallach on the board. Dennis is one that is going to become an ex officio board member. An ex officio board member is someone that is appointed to the board, will be able to enter into discussion and take part in all discussion, but will not be able to vote. He won't have a voting privilege because he's not selected in the proper way. But because of his expertise, which his expertise is, he has been the treasurer for the last 2 years. And before that, for 4 years when he was board member, he was treasurer as well. One thing that he is going to be doing is right now at the bank, I am the administrator of all accounts, which means I determine who has credit cards, church credit cards, what those spending limits are on each credit card. Any signature that's changed, added or taken away, I have to be there to give approval. Obviously, when I step away as pastor, that won't work. So before I leave, Dennis is being appointed to be administrator of all bank financial accounts that are held in financial institutions. And he will be doing that. The reason why we want to do that, Tim is an excellent financial administrator of the church. He's over all of the finances, paying the bills, offerings, and all of the accounting. He takes care of all that. He does an absolute phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. We never want to put him in a place, accountability-wise, that puts him at risk. And whenever there's only one person over all the finances and all of the accounts in the church, it's a very dangerous thing. We don't want to put Tim in that place. Because as pastor, I fill in that role. It keeps that balance. And we have the whole board. But that's why Dennis is going to be put in that place in that interim period so that there is that support and encouragement. And then Dennis will also be around because they're officially on the board. There will be a new treasurer that will be appointed that is an official board member, and he will be able to come alongside that new treasurer and also be able to help in that area. The other ex officio board member is going to be Jason. Again, Jason will be able to enter into discussion, but he will not be able to vote. Here's why it's important for him to be there. When I, as a pastor who chair the board, I am aware of all the ministries of the church. And when decisions are being made, it's always all decisions are made in reference to what's going on in the ministries, all of any spending that we do, what's going on in the ministries, what's happening in the ministries. Once I'm gone, none of the board members are in office overseeing all the ministries, where Jason will be. So that way he can come onto the board and have that connection so all of the decisions that are being made on the board have the interest and the knowledge of what's going on in the ministries and be able to bridge that gap so it keeps that unity. So he will be the second ex officio board member. Want to move on, pulpit fill-in. There's a possibility, which we are not going to do at this time, In fact, the day I resigned, I was talking with Pastor Jim, who preached that morning, and I appreciate the fact so much that he did. His message to me was so confirming on different things that he said to what was coming that he didn't know was coming. He had no idea I was going to resign that day. I actually asked him to preach because I shared 2 weeks ago for prayer on some physical things. I had a medical procedure that Monday before, and I did not know if I would be able to preach that Sunday. So that's why I had asked him to preach. Anyway, one of the possibilities we could do, or you could do, is to have the district appoint or bring in what they call an interim pastor. Interim pastor would fill in and preach each Sunday, or most every Sunday. And depending on the in-depthness of that, he can help with the search process and board items. Jim confirmed that day, our church does not need that. We have highly qualified people in our church. We have a few credentialed people in our church. We have Denise, Emma, Steve, Jason, Jim. I didn't even know if Greg, are you still credentialed? Okay, not with the Assemblies of God, but Jason's not with the Assembly of God, but do you hold any credentials right now? Okay, so he's ordained, credentialed, ordained. So a few are ordained and credentialed, not in the Assemblies, but still credentialed. We have plenty of people that have ministry training. Jim has just retired from his church, still goes up to do some mentoring because the person that is planned to take over the church still is in some training. And so he's going up at least once to twice a month to Twin Harbors and Two Harbors. Sorry, I keep saying Twin. Two Harbors, where he's pastored for several years to help do that. But, and Greg has pastored before, youth pastored. In fact, he was credentialed with the Assemblies of God, started pastoring, youth pastoring, 2 years before I did. But so we have plenty of qualified people in the church. So what we are going to do is pull on those ministries, on those credentials, on those experiences, and we are going to have them do the pulpit fill-in and come alongside to troubleshoot when there's an issue that comes up. These people are, I already mentioned some. Jason Brantley is credentialed. He's going to be filling in and preaching at least once a month. Joe Davenport will also be preaching once a month. Greg Martineau is going to be preaching once a month. And Jim Joseph is going to be preaching once a month. In there, Joe's the only one not credentialed. He is just at the cusp, the very end of finishing his internship, but will be applying for credentials next year. So he won't be credentialed this year, but it will be applying next year. Also, as far as pulpit fill-in and possibilities, is Emma and Steve, Trevor, who's filled in. Any missionary that's home from the field that we support can come in and preach on that Sunday and guest speakers. That's possibility. So there's no need for pulpit fill-in. We have plenty that are very well qualified people that can do that and step up. I did not mention to Denise for preaching because she's credentialed. In fact, she's going to be ordained this year in 2025, this coming spring. But she does not feel comfortable pulpit preaching. Her ministry and preaching and sharing the gospel is done in different venues. So for me to, or for you guys to put her on a preaching aspect or a schedule would not make her a happy camper. just saying. That's why I'm not leaving her out for any other reason except for the fact that she does not want to be on the schedule because that's not her forte on that. So just want to let you know about the pulpit fill-in. Church autonomy. This is very important. Many of you don't understand this about our church, about the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God has different church levels. We are called a general council church. Our membership is over 20 members, which establishes us as a general council church, which means we are autonomous. Some people will use the word sovereign. In other words, you govern yourself. We are a cooperative fellowship with the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God, general council bylaws, we come under those. So any pastor that you select needs to be an Assembly of God pastor, credentialed. If he is not, then he needs to transfer his credentials into the assemblies, or they can get a church credential for 2 years as they get the necessary education through MnSAM and then apply for credentials and be credentialed with the assemblies. There are steps to do that. But we're a cooperative assembly, which means you govern yourselves in partnership with what the Assemblies of God believes, because we're a cooperative fellowship. But you're autonomous. The district cannot and will not step in to select your pastor or tell you what you can and cannot do. You understand what I'm saying? So it is up to the board to select the, not just the board, the pulpit committee, to search for the new pastor. The district does not appoint pastors, does not rearrange pastors. They had no influence. They had no idea I was going to be resigning from the church until the day after I resigned. They do not, where some denominations, they will pull a pastor out, put him somewhere else, and put another one in. The church has no choice. That's not the way it is with us. I won't go into different levels. There are different levels of smaller churches, church plants that come under district supervision and have some limited control to greater control depending on the situation. But for your sakes of knowing, we are a general council church, cooperative fellowship. You're autonomous. You make the decisions. The district does not step in and make those decisions. Understand? What the district is there for and will be taking place, they are there as a resource. There can be suggestions because they're familiar with the type of church that we are. Suggestions as far as candidates. John, as the chairperson, is going to be communicating with the district office and ask for materials. So they have some fresh, up-to-date materials on for the search committee on searching for pastors, questions to use when following through on references that candidates will have, the proper questions to ask those references, and understand what those references are saying. They will be able to follow through on any type of business things, which we'll go over, and I've gone over with the board with the bylaws for announcing special business meetings. But they have resources to help go through resumes, to help go through interviews of candidates, the questions to ask, the things to do. They have those types of things pulled together so you guys don't have to discover or invent the wheel all over again. They're there as a resource, and we'll use them, or the board can use them as a resource. But they come in by invitation only. If the board would want to have them come in and speak on a Sunday, they're here to speak on a Sunday. They're not here to analyze and decide, okay, this is what you're going to do. They can't do that. They just come in and minister in the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want to talk about a pastoral search just for a little bit, because that's going to take place. My suggestion to the board is to hold off for a period of time, and I'm going to explain why. When I leave, in fact, it's kind of starting right now for some people, you're starting to process this, but you will encounter this even all the more once I am gone, is the fact that I will not be your pastor anymore and I will not be here. That means for some people, you're going to go through a grieving process. It's a loss. For me, for some, I have been a fixture in your life for 23 years, or as long as you've attended this church, and some of you have been here for a long time. So there is a grieving process, and there is a transition time where you need to shift your sights from me being your spiritual leader, your pastor, your primary resource in your life, to looking for someone else, and for that new person when they come in, they will fulfill that role in your life. Understand, you will not immediately have a relationship with the new pastor that you have with me. You've known me for many of you for a long time. It takes time to build a relationship, right? So don't expect it to be instantaneous the first Sunday, except for by the Spirit. The Spirit can do a lot of things there. Amen? And that's what you have to understand. But it helps you to change and shift your heart. What happens is when a new person is selected, and this is statistically true, churches where there has been a long-term pastor, churches that have selected a new pastor in a short period of time, typically only see that pastor stay a year to 2 years at the most, and then they're gone. Reason being is the church isn't ready to accept and embrace a new pastor. New pastor comes in, and they sense they're not being able to get any traction, be able to get relationships built, because there's not been enough break from the old pastor. And so therefore, churches that do it too fast end up, their process goes longer because they go through the process, they go through the interview, they get a new pastor, he comes in, he leaves, and then they have to do it all over again. And that process takes even a lot more, and there's a lot of heartache that takes place in that and frustration. It's better just to let God do it and take your time. Now, there are two, and there's going to be no names, and understand this. When the pulpit committee is considering candidates, no names will ever be presented publicly until the day it's announced that there is a candidate that is coming, and only that name will be presented. Even when that name is presented, it is completely 100% confidential with this congregation, offline, nothing will be recorded. For this purpose, when I came here, I was still pastoring my church. My church in Worthington did not know I was looking here, except for the associate pastor and one deacon. They knew. The reason why that one deacon knew, because they used to attend this church before they moved to Worthington and knew most of the people here. And it was likely they were going to find out. And I used them as a reference. And he was a board member at the time. Any word that would get out to the church that their pastor is candidating can bring a lot of problems and issues to that church until he announces it at God's time. Understand, confidentiality is very, very key. So understand, no one's going to mention, no one from the committee, it's not that they're trying to be, they are being secretive. They are keeping things in integrity the way it has to be done. Okay? You can make suggestions to them, but don't be offended if they're going to pray, they're going to consider, but it's going to be a suggestion, just like when you suggest board candidates. But you take your time in doing that. There are two candidates, two names that I have mentioned to the board as a possibility that would be very uniquely qualified and connected in to this church. And there's already some connections, which many of you aren't even aware of. In those two cases, if there was a decision to move forward with either one of those two cases, a shorter interim time would be okay because of the uniqueness of the situation. Other than that, there's not going to be the uniqueness and there needs to be taking the time. But when God does it, you move on what God's timing is. Amen? And you trust him with that. So if it did go fast, even with someone else, and it's clearly a God thing, and everyone witnesses it, that's okay, but that's not the norm. The norm is taking the process. So my recommendation, really, this is my recommendation to the board, is not even beginning to look until late spring, early summer, except for those two names. Other than that, because I don't leave until mid-February, March, April, May, that's only 12 weeks. And then to start the process after that. That's my suggestion. One other thing people have asked, Pastor, are you going to continue to attend here? And the answer is going to be, no, Sharon and I will not be attending here. And it's simply to help you through the process of separating from my leadership. If I continue to attend here, people will still see me and depend on me as being the go-to person or spiritually in control of the services. And I'll confess, it would be hard for me not to step into that role if something starts happening in the service and I felt that things were getting off to step in. But I need to allow those that have the spiritual experience and that are in charge to be able to take that. I need to allow you guys to have that break from us so you get your sights off of me and on to praying for and looking for and ready to embrace a new pastor. That wouldn't happen if I still attended on a weekly basis. And so Sharon and I will not be attending. You can be praying for us that we find a new church home and how that process will go. For the pulpit committee, the board serves as the pulpit committee. They can include their spouses of those that have spouses on the board, and they could add one or two other members from the congregation that are members of the church. That is a possibility as well. That will be up to the board, but technically the board is the pulpit committee. I want to say this last thing before I close with two other scriptures. I just looked at the time, so sorry, I'm going a little bit long here. This is not a period, when I step away from the church, this is not a period for you to coast, for you to take a break in ministry or in time. That's not the time. Instead, every single person that's a part of this church, this is the word, you got to put the pedal to the metal. You got to be more committed than you've ever been committed when I've been here. You need to step up and utilize your ministry. As I said earlier, you see the need, you step up, and you meet the need. You make yourself available. Don't go rogue. Come under the leadership in ministry, in what administration. You come under Jason, you come under John. But you come in and you step up. Be faithful. Be faithful. Stay here. I'm going to say this. A lot of people, pastor's making a change. I've really been connected. Now's the time. Maybe I'll start church shopping. Absolutely not. You're not here and you should not be attending because I'm the pastor. You're attending because God led you to Park Harbor Church. You never consider leaving or making a change from Park Harbor Church unless you've prayed, you've sought God, and you know it's Him telling you to step away. Understand? And I've heard a few rumblings of a few different things, and I just want to make that clear. You need to stay here. First of all, we need your giftings more than ever. We need your ministry more than ever. This church needs your finances as tithing to keep going. There's expenses that are going to arise. Obviously, they'll have my salary that they won't be paying anymore that will help pay for the increases and things of stuff. But there's going to be moving expenses. There's going to be travel expenses of bringing in and interviewing candidates, taking them out to eat, doing things like that. There are more expenses that are coming, and hopefully it will cover. But also, one of the things I've recommended to the board is taking part of my salary that you won't be paying for a while and quickly pay off that boiler loan. So that's one less financial responsibility that the new pastor comes in doesn't have to have on his plate. But be faithful. Don't even entertain thoughts of leaving, only by the direction of Holy Spirit. And frankly, I doubt the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay, you go, because God wants to keep this solid. Amen? Be involved, be committed. Romans chapter 12. I want to take another scripture here, and I want to read this to you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, starting in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That just kind of sums up what I just said about being committed here. Write that scripture down. Keep that verse and make that a theme verse for you, just like trusting the Lord with all your heart. Romans 12, 10 through 13, keep that in place. Another scripture that I want to share with you is Ephesians. In fact, part of this we are doing and have been doing over the years. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And I'm going to preface by saying this. We have raised up people from within this body to do ministry. We have discipled lay people to become ministers, to become preachers, to come alongside and to be able to minister. I believe that's what we're called to do. And we have lived this verse, but this is going further in where unity and faithfulness is concerned. I'm going to read the whole text here of 11 through 16. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ. That's what we've been doing. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, a mature woman, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried away about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, craftiness of deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, by which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, of the building up of itself in love. I, for one, understand that last verse physically. I've had knee surgery, shoulder surgery, another medical procedure, all to get my body back in working order to where it's properly and held together of the proper working of each individual part. And it's a frustration when each individual part doesn't work right. Some of you are going through that now. Spiritually, as a body of believers, it's so important to be equipped to work, and we've done that. We've been doing that. The work of service, everybody, service, ministry is work. And there's no retirement where that is concerned. So if you're retired, you're retired from your career. You're not retired from ministry. You're called to work. It's a work of service. Building up one another. Unity of the faith, sticking together, being devoted to one another. That is key. Every joint supplying. I left out, but just grow up. If you're not mature, just grow up in areas you need to grow up. But every joint supplying. That's what's ahead. Pull together all the more. But I wanted to share these things with you today so you know what's coming ahead, so you don't have so many questions. There's many people that have come up with some questions and concerns, and some of it has brought fear. You don't need to walk in fear. perfect love casts out all fear. God has his hand on this church. If he didn't, he wouldn't have called me to step aside in the first place. But if he spoke to me to step aside in the first place, he has your back. And can I tell you something? Even if some of you feel I've blown it because I'm stepping away, God's not going to drop you because I made a mistake. Personally, my wife and I don't believe we've made a mistake. There's been different confirmations. So you can put that out of your mind. If you do think I made a mistake, take it to Jesus. But either way, he has his hand on this church. He has his hand on this church. You can trust him. Father, thank you. Thank you for this body. Thank you for the board that we have and we will have. Thank you for the people that you have called to this place that can stand up and lead and come alongside and encourage and nurture. Thank you. You are a faithful God. You are a good God. Thank you that you have a plan and purpose for Park Harbor Church. And you have a plan and purpose, not only the church as a whole, but every single person that makes up this church. Thank you. You're good. Put your hand toward me. I bless you. I bless you that you trust God with all your heart. Whatever your hand finds to do, do is unto the Lord. Don't be anxious, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him. Be equipped. Come alongside as a body. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be hospitable. Step up to the plate. Put the pedal to the metal. God's called you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And I bless you with his anointing in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.